are filed with AFTRA about gender discrimination and harassment, I can tell you that immediately Pacifica went right out and hired one of the most prestigious independent investigators in this field. It was a rather lengthy investigation. Matter of fact, the investigator told me it lasted longer than almost all of her other investigations have taken. And while I'm not really free to comment too specifically, one of the things that I can tell you is that I'm very pleased with the outcome of that report, and I believe that when the grievance is worked out, that I'll be very proud to say that, you know, those charges just are not true, and that report has been written, and I believe I've seen it. I know I've been made aware of the conclusions.
Well, did this refer to the charges that Clayton Riley said things like "stop protecting the ass of that white bitch" on the?
I'm sitting here in our office. And yeah. Little that fall pollen here on the East Coast. No, the report that I'm speaking to addresses Amy's charges against me specifically.
Against you specifically. Yeah. Well, what about protecting her against such attacks like as Kate Clayton Riley's and the attacks that everybody on her staff has reported? And
well,
she says there's been no support for that.
Yeah, well, as far as the first with Clayton Riley, when this goes back, gosh, so long ago to February when the two of them were hosting Morning Call. Now, at that time and in that context, Amy's really an employee of WBAI, not an employee of National Programming. So, but when Amy made me aware of this and when this happened, you know, it really was WBAI's call to make. But in February, when those things took place, as I recall, Amy and Clayton were both removed from the Morning Program, and the Morning Call, I believe at the time it was still called that, has gone away. So, you know,
but Clayton is now back in the station.
Well, and Clayton's there on the weekends. He's not, and Amy's work days are Monday through Friday, so they have very little chance for direct interaction. Both have been given, from what I understand, and again, because this is Amy as a WBAI, not as a National Programming employee, and although as it stands now, Amy is no longer a WBAI employee since she's not on the local air. But
nor is she getting paid by National. She's been suspended without pay along with everybody else on her staff.
That's untrue.
That's untrue? Is she getting paid?
No, what's untrue is that she has not been suspended.
But she isn't getting paid. So then we're talking about language.
Well, it's not really language. It's actually a very specific act. What we're talking about is that the staff of Democracy Now! Is on an unauthorized leave of absence without pay. They did not return to work when instructed to by management of by Pacifica.
Return to the workplace, which AFTRA has said is unsafe.
Well, that's kind of interesting because you're tying together two events that I'd like to sort of tell you about how I see them. When I received, I became aware of what Amy claims to be a physical accosting late in the afternoon or shortly after it happened, but that was Friday afternoon. Immediately, Pacifica called our attorney, Larry Drapkin, who I know folks probably in your listening area have heard his name before, to begin work on what had happened. Larry came to New York. I went up to New York to find out the facts of the case, or was started to prepare to go up to New York, but I hadn't yet because there were still some things here. I'm trying to keep the chronology in my head. On Monday, I'm sitting here in my office at 5 o'clock in the afternoon and receive an email from the staff of Democracy Now! Telling me at 5 o'clock on Monday afternoon that beginning Tuesday, they are no longer going to report to WBAI for work, which is their workplace. As you know, that as is policy, that any national production, a production that Pacifica puts money into, must be produced at a Pacifica location. What the staff was telling us is they had unilaterally taken actions into their hands without asking permission or even consulting. I never received an email that said, hey, we feel so unsafe that we feel that we cannot report to work here. Can we do something?
Now, wait a minute. Amy had gone before. The National Board had spoken to you many times over months about the harassment, and nothing had been done about it, so it can't have come as a surprise.
No, actually, it came as a shock. If anything, that an employee would say, we're just going to go work someplace else. Now,
as other programs on WBAI do.
Incorrect. Those are local programs that do not receive funding from the Pacifica Foundation. Those are local programs, much like you have independent producers or volunteer producers that work off-site. They're not employees of WBAI. Amy and the staff of Democracy Now! Are employees who took a unilateral action into their hands and didn't, and without consulting their manager about it or anyone else. They made a unilateral decision that is against a policy that we could, what we could do. Now, let me go on and tell you about the rest of the week.
Well, no, I don't think I have time for that because I've got a whole bunch of other books on that.
Well, in the interest of telling the whole story, okay. Chris, let's go on and tell. I'm sure that Jim Bennett will allow me the time on your air to tell the whole story in the best interest of your listeners getting the full story. I immediately came to New York then. As a matter of fact, I came to New York with just my computer and ended up staying the whole week. I was not a pretty sight by the end, as you might imagine, because we sat there in meetings with AFTRA fully Monday through Friday. As fast as we could, we addressed all of the concerns. We immediately said that the staff of Democracy Now! Was on an authorized leave of absence with pay. We paid them through that Friday. Because we work very closely with AFTRA.
Well, this whole unauthorized business, it sounds like harassment to us and to listeners because she's been physically attacked in the building of WBAI. Is she supposed to stay there?
I have to tell you that of all the people that I've spoken with that witnessed the physical attack, none of the people there felt that it rose to the level of physical attack.
Well, Amy Goodman has a very high validity and credibility quotient here, as the other folks do not.
Absolutely does, which is why we're awaiting her return to the staff of Democracy Now! To WBAI to continue working on democracy.
Well, as AFTRA has said, when it's safe.
Well,
at any rate,
it's
not safe for Amy. It's not safe for Amy.
It's safe for Amy and AFTRA at the time with all the things that we put into place. And even after, what happened was on that Friday, what happened was that all of a sudden on Saturday, people are attributing this quote to Clayton Riley as an attack on Amy. Nowhere in what Clayton says, and I've read this and I've heard the tape and had the transcript quoted to me, nowhere in that tape does Clayton mention Amy's name. Nowhere in Amy's in that tape does nowhere in that discussion does Clayton mention that the dissidents are present within WBAI or producing a program off-site. It was in response, and if you listen to and read the whole transcript, you'll find that Clayton is simply saying, in radio terms, very sturdy terms, what he's saying is that when you're in a war against folks, and I will tell you that as a gay man, the war that has been waged against me this week, in the homophobic campaign that's been waged against me this week, I mean, I'm just shocked that people who claim themselves to be progressives could engage in such hateful, personal, vindictive things against me that, I have to agree with Clayton. It is a bit of a war here. I mean, I'm sorry to say that I'm sort of a victim in this part of it, because I'm sure you'd like to talk about the website thing.
As a matter of fact, I don't want to talk about anything anymore right now because I've got other folks on the line, but I really thank you so much for calling. Steve Yasko joining us on the telephone, the National Program Director for
KPFA?
Pacifica National.
Am I being censored? Is KPFA censoring me?
I'm saying goodbye to you because I'm the host of this program and I have other guests on the line and you would have not been scheduled, although I'm very grateful that you joined us. Thank you so much. And we are now going to, I believe that Amy might still be on the telephone. I'm not sure. Are you there? And would you care to comment if you are? Hello.
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, good.
I've just heard a bit of what Steve Yasko had to say. And just the fact of the matter is, according to Larry Drabkin, the lawyer, he was not alerted to the attack on me, that both I and Chris Abrams, who witnessed it, wrote to management and the board about on Friday night. He was not alerted to it until Monday evening when they got the email from us saying that we were moving to another site. So it took us moving to another site for the lawyer to be contacted. Steve Yasko never responded to what happened to us on that Friday, to what happened to me on that Friday that Chris Abrams witnessed on that Friday evening. We didn't hear from him until we moved. That, it seems, is what it took to get a response from management. On the issue of a safe worksite and Steve Yasko saying it is a safe worksite, well, I just went through over the last months the level of hostility and harassment that has been expressed against me and the staff of Democracy Now! And in none of those cases did Steve Yasko respond. And then, you know, being called the kind of humiliating and demeaning names that I have been, not to mention being subject to harassment by Steve Yasko himself. This has nothing to do with sexuality or sexual orientation. It has to do with power and abuse of power. When I met with Steve Yasko and my AFTRA lawyer, Kim Roberts, a few months ago, we raised with him the issue of, for example, being called a white chick on the air by the public affairs director. And he said, well, it depends the context. And Kim said, you know, if someone called me a black chick on the air, it wouldn't depend the context. And it doesn't depend on the context when you call Amy that. It was in that same conversation that Steve Yasko wanted me to have lunch with a colleague, a Pacifica colleague. And when Kim Roberts raised an objection, my AFTRA lawyer, he said he wanted me to do it on Pacifica's dime, and he said sharing a meal is more intimate than having sex. He is my supervisor. Kim Roberts said, you understand how inappropriate that is, what you're saying. And he simply defended what he said. Over and over again, I have been dealing with this, and it not only emanates from my supervisor himself, but he refuses to investigate what has gone on, both in terms of physical threats and verbal harassment for many months.
Amy Goodman, again, on the telephone with us, and we're going to have to let you go again, but boy, just a brief taste of the kind of thing you're up against there. I thank you so much for joining us. And we now turn to, in New York City, Leslie Kagan. Leslie Kagan is a member of the National Board of Pacifica. She is a member of the so-called dissident faction, and we welcome her to our airwaves. It's always a pleasure. Good afternoon, Leslie.
Hi. How you doing?
Boy, well, maybe we should start with the board vote to demand that Pacifica National put Democracy Now! Back on Pacifica Station airwaves, and the thus far inaction of the national executive director.
Yes, let me actually clarify that so that everyone is crystal clear what happened here. Is that a week ago, that is last Wednesday, the 29th of August, a letter, a memo sent by email and fax to Bessie Wash was signed by six of the board members. This was not as the result of a vote. And there is a slight, you know, technical difference between six people, which at this point with an 11-member board does constitute a majority, that still is slightly different than an actual resolution that is voted on by the board. It doesn't have quite the weight of a board resolution. Mm-hmm. And I think that's an important distinction to make. Nonetheless, six of us signed onto a letter. Actually, this memo to Bessie was initiated by myself and Valerie Chambers, one of the national board members from Texas.
Wow.
Texas. The two of us drafted a memo and circulated to everybody on the national board, inviting every member, that is the nine other members, to sign on with us. Unfortunately, many of the national board members did not sign on. The other people that are part of our dissident group did sign on. And so in the end, we had six people sign this memo, which, as I said, was sent by email and fax to Bessie Wash.
And said?
And it said that given that we are a majority of the board, we are directing you to take specific action related to the situation with Democracy Now!, and that was to immediately lift the suspensions of Amy Goodman, the two producers, and the engineer of the show, to lift the suspensions and restore them to full pay, including the back pay that they lost, to let Democracy Now! Broadcast daily from the off-site location where they have set up, and therefore to stop playing the old shows, the best of shows, that there would be no recriminations against these four staff people, and that this would allow for a little bit of a cooling off period at WBAI, where the situation, as I think your listeners know, has been in crisis for now it's almost 9 months.
Indeed.
And gets worse and worse.
Well, now Steve Yasko says that they're not suspended. And that steps have been taken to, they've hired people to make it safe and to check out and make sure everything's safe and come on back.
I heard the beginning of what he said and then unfortunately couldn't stand the line, but I think he's playing word games here. Whatever it is, whatever language you want to use, these four people have not been getting their regular paychecks. They've not been allowed to broadcast either from a safe environment at WBAI or from a safe and technically very sound off-site location.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing wrong with that. Why, you know, what is the problem with letting people produce those shows and broadcast those shows from an off-site location, given that there's no technological problem with it, weakness in the broadcast quality.
Mm-hmm.
And why not let that happen and allow for a little bit of a cooling off period, which is definitely needed there at WBAI. The temperature definitely needs to be brought down, and this would allow at least some space for that to happen.
You're listening to Leslie Kagan, who's a member of the National Pacifica Board, and let me move on to another topic before we lose your time. I know your time is very precious here. There is a national board meeting scheduled. You mentioned the 6-5 vote, and our understanding of this scheduled phone board meeting on the 19th is that it is specifically to add members to the board, which would change that balance of 11-6-5. It would,
well,
or 5 to whatever
again.
It is. Yeah.
Let me be clear again. There are 11 people on the board. 5 of us constitute a board minority, the dissident board members. 6, the majority. The fact that Valerie Chambers was involved in the writing of this one memo should not be understood to mean that she will now, you know, that she has now sides on all other issues. So we don't really know where she or some of the other people on the board would come down on a whole number of other issues. So we remain very, very concerned about this attempt. And as far as we're concerned at this point, it's still an attempt to have a board meeting, as you say, by conference call with one agenda item, that is to elect new board members. And in fact, we're so concerned that we and the other plaintiffs on the other lawsuits have taken several motions into the courts, including one motion to prohibit the election of new board members between now and whenever the suits are settled through trial or, you know, negotiated settlement. But there'll be no new board members brought on. That is being heard. Arguments will be heard, and the judge will make a decision next week on the 13th. We think it is totally the wrong time to be voting in new board members. Certainly, you know, we think, and this is, you know, fairly obvious, we think it would be horrible to bring on new people who would just reinforce the ranks of the old board majority. In fact, we think just the opposite is needed now. The old board majority has lost whatever legitimacy they ever had, and that it's time for new leadership here. It's time to really take the reins of control of the Pacifica Foundation out of the hands of those people who continue to lead us in the wrong direction.
Indeed.
And so we will do whatever we can to try and stop the strengthening of that present board majority.
And so in light of which you filed this suit, is there anything that listeners could do, in your view?
Well, I think it's important to keep the to make sure that the people on the board really understand what our concerns are, what your concerns are as listeners, as well as producers at the 5 stations. But I think that listeners throughout the network do have a right, I dare say even a responsibility, to let those who claim to be the leaders of the foundation know what your concerns are. So I think sending those letters and making those phone calls and sending the emails, all that kind of stuff, remains a very, very important task. I also think that listeners and other concerned people can help in this whole struggle by doing some other work, that is, other work in the mass media, to try and tell the story about what this fight is really all about in terms of defending free speech, community-based, and corporate-free media, to see if there are other outlets in the media to tell this story. I think that's very, very important to have.
Indeed. Leslie Kagan, I thank you so much for joining us ever so briefly and for maintaining your principled position on all of these things. I'm very grateful you could join us.
Thank you.
We turn now to someone else who's got principled positions she's maintaining, and that is Carol Spooner here in the listener area of KPFA, a KPFA listener and the originator of the listener lawsuit, one of the, now I believe it's four lawsuits against Pacifica National. Good afternoon to you, Carol.
Hi, Chris. Thanks for having me.
And when I asked Leslie what could listeners do, I know that you've got some very specific ideas about what listeners could do as this lawsuit that you're part of. Of course, all of them have been combined. There's one big suit, which was to have been heard in early January, and then Bessie Wash up and fired one set of lawyers and hired a new set of lawyers. And these lawyers, I mean, are the biggest lawyers in Washington, D.C. They defended President Clinton. They defended Elian Gonzalez's father. How has that changed what you're up against?
Well, Chris, we don't view the change in lawyers as disturbing in any way, except that it adds to the expense that of our money that's being used unlawfully by the Pacifica board to defend its own directors. That's against the law, by the way. They fired their insurance defense firm. The law permits the foundation to use insurance money to defend their directors against charges of wrongdoing, but it doesn't allow them to use foundation money to defend them. So that's one of the motions we have pending next week, is to prohibit that and force the directors to pay for their own legal defense out of their own pocket if they want to fire their insurance defense lawyers. But we have an incredible team of lawyers working on our side on this case, very capable. I'm certain that they will deal magnificently with anything the other side wants to throw at us. Also the change in lawyers, the judge has said that he will not permit a slippage of the trial date, which is now set for January 7th, barring a catastrophe, that date holds firm, so we don't see any loss of our trial date due to this.
Well, and that's to the good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to say, in addition to the things that Leslie emphasized that listeners can do, we really have to keep repeating that this is a very expensive fight for us. And in addition to contacting the media and telling the story and contacting the directors, we do need to raise money. We are constantly working on raising money. And people should go to www.savepacifica.net. At the top of the page, it tells you how to contribute to the fight. Click on the link to the legal fund. Go there and see where you can make an effective donation to help us. In addition, we've got fundraising volunteers who are setting up phone banks. And if you'd like to help with that, let me give you a phone number to call. It's area code 415-482-8274. We're setting up phone banks all around the Bay Area, and our coordinator there will get you put you to work on that. That's real important.
You're listening to Carol Spooner, the originator of the listener's lawsuit, one of the four lawsuits now combined into one that is challenging the national board of Pacifica, the majority there, for what they're saying is unlawful practices over the last
couple
of
years. Well, you know, our suit, actually, I like to emphasize this, Chris. It's often called the listener's lawsuit, and it is brought by 12 listeners from all five Pacifica stations. But it's authorized by the California Attorney General, who did a very rare and magnificent thing. It's very unusual that the Attorney General authorizes this kind of suit. He did it in this case because he was so concerned about the evidence we presented to him. Our case brings charges of breach of charitable trust, gross abuse of authority and discretion, fraud and dishonest acts. We're seeking damages on behalf of the foundation against the individuals who have engaged in profligate waste of our money. We're seeking their removal for gross abuse, and also we're seeking removal for their being illegally elected and unlawful bylaws changes. The list just grows and grows and grows as they continue to conduct themselves in the most unfit manner anyone could ever have anticipated. And, of course, the latest maltreatment and abuse of Amy Goodman is outrageous.
Indeed.
And has gotten many, many, many people alerted who previously were not aware or didn't understand the seriousness. But this is nothing new. Our staffs at our five stations have been fired and banned and abused for years, including the lockout and boarding up of our station here at KPFA and arrest of the staff for trespassing. So there.
Indeed. Carol, I know you really wanted to answer phone calls from listeners, and of course then Mr. Yasko took up all of the time that I had scheduled
for that.
Yeah,
you know, I wish I could have called and asked him where the videotape of that alleged assault was. You know, I mean, Amy was there. The board of directors has asked for the videotape. They installed a very expensive surveillance system there, and they haven't produced the videotape of Utrice Lead shoving and slamming the door on Amy's foot.
Well, when he started saying that there was a debate about that, I wanted to raise, well, what about her fabricating the coverage of the massacre in East Timor?
Right, yeah.
Have you got a debate about that as well?
I know. Well, I hate to go down that road because the outrage just... It makes me lose my ability to speak coherently.
Well, and I was very concerned as well because there was a definite veiled threat and not so veiled threat against our manager, Jim Bennett.
Oh, absolutely. I heard it.
Mm-hmm.
I heard it. Yeah. Well, thank you for your courage and to the entire staff of KPFA for standing up to this.
Well, so I see... There was an email here, and you filed several new motions on the 23rd,
mm-hmm.
and you've got a fundraising goal of a whole lot of money.
Yeah.
Because you're building up to this case, which still is scheduled for January, and it does appear that the judge is not inclined to wait because they've got a new law firm in there, that this new law firm is just going to have to scramble and catch up.
That's right.
So by January the 1st, what are you estimating it's going to cost to carry this forward?
They have scheduled innumerable depositions all over the country, about 60 of them. There are 80 depositions scheduled in total. They've scheduled many outrageous depositions, such as deposing the Internet service providers of every web page in the country that discusses specific issues. So,
gee, that ought to take a while.
Yeah, so if they're permitted to carry on those depositions, this will be outrageously expensive. They are trying to run us out of money. I expect that we will need a minimum of $250,000, $250,000, and probably more if all of those depositions are permitted, to prepare, take all the depositions, prepare for them, review them, and prepare the case for trial. As well as the motion practice, law and motion practice, the motions we filed this week. I'm certain when all of the time that went into preparing and defending and arguing them and researching them, that was probably close to $50,000 or $60,000 worth of work.
Carol, I've got to get out of here. Carol Spooner, our guest on the telephone, www.savepacifica.net, will give you all the information you need to know what to do to help. Once again, if you'd like to volunteer to be part of a phone bank, you can call 415 area code 482-8274. 415-482-8274. And I'd really like to thank Steve Yasko for calling in, the Pacifica National Program Director, and wading into the middle of territory that was not friendly to him. He joined us today, living room plans and future programs of this type, to invite a representative of the current Pacifica leadership to respond to allegations and to share their perspectives. And you may be interested to know that Pacifica lawyer Larry Drapkin and Executive Director Bessie Wash are scheduled to be in the Bay Area next week for collective bargaining negotiations with KPFA's unionized staff. Speaking of the unionized staff, that's me, that's CS, and that's Erica. CS is our producer. Erica Bridgman is our associate producer. Now at the board, Andrea Duflon, member of the local advisory board. Very happy to have all these teammates here, and happy that you could join us. A cassette copy of this program is available at extension 625. Tomorrow we'll be back with all kinds of theater available, alternative theater in the Bay Area. Hope you'll be able to join us. Check you later.